League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Hello, friends, and welcome to your Monday Kings of Anglia Ipswich Town podcast. Friends, we brought you a pod every single day last week. I hope you enjoyed them. There was a groundswell of emotion, a real feeling of a big game occasion going to Saturday. The atmosphere was spectacular, but unfortunately, friends, I can't bring you news. Ipswich Town got the result we all wanted because the wait goes on. 2-2, a frustrating end to what was a brilliant day at Portman Road. And all of the Kings are here this morning to break it down for you. I felt really flat at the end of the game, but today's vibe on the pod is going to be positive vibes only, friend, because let us not forget there's a lot, as Kieran McKenna touched on post-game, to be positive about on the blue side of this divide. And we're going to enjoy that and celebrate that today while also looking back at the day, breaking down the game and discussing everything that happened post-game. So I'm Mark Heath. I'm your host, not quite as chipper as normal. I'm joined by Stuart Watson, Alex Jones, and the boy Rossi. Stu, I'm going to start with you. You're saying you're feeling a bit under the weather. I assume that's, is that the adrenaline dump from last week and Saturday?
Maybe. Have you ever had heartburn that's so bad that like you feel like you're in a world of trouble? I had that last night. I struggle with it from time to time. It was not fun.
You're not going to have a heart attack live on air, are you, Stu? That would,
I hope not.
Really,
no.
Put a dampener on things before Christmas. We can't afford to lose you, mate. So, yeah.
I'm all right. Yeah, I'm okay.
Do you take anything for heartburn? What can you take? Is it Gaviscon?
Yeah, Gaviscon, all that stuff, yeah.
It's not a pleasant thing, though, is it, Stewie?
It's not, heartburn. No.
It's not good at all. Anyway, let's speak to Rossi, who I'm going to say is... spending time with Rossi around an Ipswich Town game is a bit like wandering around with a celebrity because people just randomly shout, Roscoe! At him. It's great. And Rossi, you demonstrate how far you've come, I thought, with us on Saturday because we all walked down to go and watch the bus welcome. There was a lot of, obviously, fan smoke flares. And me and AJ, we stood kind of in the road, but kind of in a reserved manner. Rossi, however, just Billy strutted it down the road, didn't he? He wasn't waiting around for anyone. Get right in the thick of it, mate. I'm wearing a photographer's jacket. This face opens doors. I'm access all areas. Ross, I thought that was brilliant.
Yeah, I thought that was what I was supposed to do, so I did it, to be fair.
Well, it is, mate, but back in the day, you were so timid. You would have probably just stood behind the barriers and kind of almost apologised for filming it.
Just say a politely go, yeah, can I just film this? I know like 100 other people were filming it. Can I film it? Yeah, I have come a long way. And I'll shout to those guys who shouted my name. I'll give you a tenner later.
But, there were lots of them, mate. Roscoe! Rossi! All that sort of stuff. It's good. And then obviously the youngest member of the team, the most recent in terms of joining. Got to experience your first East Anglia derby from the coverage side of things, AJ. How are you on this fine, I suppose, Monday morning?
Fine, yeah. I think that, like, probably the rest of us, I don't know if we all kind of went through this, maybe it's like the stages of grief. Saturday was quite rough. You get back, get home, and kind of like, oh, well, that was a bit crap, wasn't it? And then Sunday, I think, was a period of reflection and realising that, well, in the theme of the podcast, it wasn't actually... You know, it's not the end of the world at all. Mm. Looking at the games ahead, looking at the performance, looking at all the positives, my main thing was stay off Twitter, I think, to be perfectly honest, because that every time we log on, that's just gets worse and worse and worse from seeing Norwich fans, from seeing, you know, negativity. Block it all out. And I'm glad that we're focusing on the positives today.
Indeed. Right then, friends, the way we're going to do it today, we're going to split it in three parts: pre-game, the game, and post-game. And with that in mind, then, should we kick off with the pre-game? Because clearly, wandering down Portman Road to go to the media area on Saturday was fantastic. The amount of people that were out and about, I was there, I think, about 10:15. AJ, you'd been there since about 9:30. You were very excited. But clearly, yeah, there was a sense that an atmosphere was properly building, smoke already wisping around in the air. And then obviously the big bus welcome. I thought a sign, friends, of the kind of occasion that it was having picked up my press credentials and making the short journey up to the press room, I walked past kind of 4 or 5 genuine legends who were just kind of there. And that all added to the kind of big game feel, I thought. There was obviously Terry Butcher I wandered by. Matt Holland was there. Simon Milton, Russell Osman, Marcus Stewart was there. Just kind of casually walking by these really big names of Ipswich Town past, I thought really added to the occasion. And then Stewie, I'm going to start with you because you pretty much walked head first into one of the most famous men on the planet pre-game, which is a slightly surreal experience. We're walking out to go up to the press box in the stands. And as we left the kind of media room area, there was a certain ginger pop prince walking down the stairs towards us, being escorted by a very excited Marcus Nash, I will say, from the Ipswich Town media team. I think you were talking to someone behind you, weren't you? So you hadn't clocked what was going on, and you essentially just touched Ed up.
I don't know if there was any physical contact per se, but it was one of those where you know when you go to push a door open and it opens from the other side at the same time, and you stumble forward into the gap, and that's essentially what happened. I stumbled straight head first into Mr. Sheeran, and there was a couple of awkward sort of apologies, grins exchanged, and off he went, surrounded by his people.
Quite a surreal moment, I thought that. And again, another feeling of I guess, the momentum around Ipswich Town and generally the size of the game, in that one of the most successful pop stars on the planet is just wandering around pre-game. I did also note, boys, I instinctively said hello to him because he's one of those people you kind of feel like you know, and he kind of looked a little bemused at that. He was also wearing, he's obviously got an Ipswich Town, a special Ipswich Town Ed Sheeran jacket hanging up somewhere in Portman Road. I was assuming his box, because he was wearing a big blue puffer jacket when we saw him. Later on, when he was on telly celebrating the equaliser, he had his own Ipswich Town branded jacket, Rossi. Did you, because I don't think you were with us at the time. Did you see Ed? No.
No, I just saw him in his box thing, taking a few snappy snaps as you do. So yeah, that's it.
Excellent. Should we get on to the bus welcome then? Because that was one of the obviously the big kind of set pieces before the game, and we all wandered down to experience it. Rossi, I think you've got some video, haven't you, from the occasion? It was obviously a pretty spectacular scene. It was like something out of a big Brazilian football match. Look at this, Rossi. So you were right in amongst it. What was it like for you? Were you choking on the smoke?
Do you know what? It wasn't that bad. I didn't get hit by a flare this time, so that's a result. but yeah, that was just unbelievable. I did feel like there's Wazza.
Yeah, good old he's giving it large. Yeah,
he is. Love that. But just unbelievable scenes. And here's the coach. Of course, if you're watching and if you're listening, make sure to subscribe and see the video, because you can see this. Obviously, it's on game day as well. Check on game day at YouTube. But yeah, that was just unreal, guys. Just unbelievable.
Yeah, it was quite the sight, wasn't it? It was really nice as well from where we were standing, AJ. We had a certain Mr. Mark Ashton just wander by us and kind of stand in the middle of it. He did actually start singing, didn't he, to begin with? And just I was fumbling for my phone to try and get him singing. He stopped. But he then kind of just walked on and just kind of watched and kind of soaked it all up. What did you make of it, AJ? It was quite the scene, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was good fun as he started. I think it was the Super Kieran McKenna chant. I think he sang, "We've got Super Kieran McKenna," and then he kind of looked around and stopped himself and maybe he sensed that you were running up behind him with your eyes. there were some really nice cinematic shots from you there. I thought that Ross, in fairness, also was going to be right in amongst it, because he asked me afterwards, "Have I got any blue on my face?" It wasn't as bad as last time, I don't think. This was great, though. I really enjoyed it. I haven't really seen anything like this, because obviously I wasn't in the round for the Exeter game before my time, not in that sense. But that was still quite an experience. I don't know how it compares necessarily. You guys have to touch on that, but it was a pretty special occasion.
Yeah, we're just watching these scenes here. So many fans just enjoying themselves, getting involved. Stewie, obviously you were there for the Exeter, the original, last season. I know you said after the game you didn't enjoy this quite as much.
Yeah. I hope people sort of take that in the context of what it's meant. It's definitely spectacular scenes. It's definitely a sign of how bonded the fan base is with this group. And I'm pleased it happened. I'm not saying that, but it just felt a little bit different in that the first time it happened was a bit more, I think I used the word organic in the piece I wrote this morning, in that there was a surprise element to it. It was a bit of talk on social media. Let's welcome the coach ahead of a game where potentially promotion could be sealed. And we thought maybe a few dozen people, a few hundred at best. And that was the surprise factor, I think, around the Exeter game. And it just felt, a bit more wholesome around the Exeter game, I would say. It was kind of a bit more family friendly, a bit more joyous. Obviously, you know, emotions are slightly, you know, very different around a derby game. And you could see sort of the different type of emotions on people's faces in that clip there. It's a sign of how much this means to everybody, this fixture. I think those sort of scenes might put to bed any kind of national notion that it's not a proper derby and there's not really enough sort of hatred and rivalry between these sides. I think that kind of sums it up a little bit. And just kind of fast forwarding to the end of it, you know, the game, which we'll touch upon later, but anyone who's kind of going, oh, wasn't that bothered about winning anyway, sort of thing. Come on, behave. You know, you see those scenes before the game. Let's not dodge it. It's disappointing. No, that's why there was so that it felt quite flat afterwards, because it felt like an opportunity and it wasn't taken. But those scenes before the game, I think first and foremost just show what the East Anglian Derby means to everybody involved in it.
I'd love to know how the players calm themselves down after that, because obviously they're seeing all this excitement and this atmosphere being created. It would be impossible not to be moved by that. And then the way they do it now at Town is the coach arrives and they have like a little almost like meet and greet line of fans before they walk into the building. And obviously they're all excited and they're high-fiving and, you know, giving them, go on, son, and all that kind of stuff. So to then walk into the building and know that you've got, what, an hour or so before the game kicks off and you've got to try and keep your emotions ice cold. As Sam Morsey said, we were speculating, weren't we, Rossi? We saw Sam Morsey marching around the pitch on his own with his headphones in, and we were wondering what he's listening to. He's got some classical FM going on in there, just trying to calm himself. What do you reckon, Rossi?
Yeah, well, we're debating different things. We're thinking maybe a bit of gangster rap, potentially.
Yeah.
Maybe war speeches, maybe like iconic war speeches, maybe from
got a bit of Churchill, got a bit of Churchill going on or something,
maybe, yeah. But I bet all the players just got their own little playlist, haven't they? You know, pre-match playlists, you know, and stuff like that. I think if I was a footballer, I think I'd be doing the same. I'll probably want to be by myself, just on the pitch with my headphones in, just getting in the zone and listen to Rihanna, of course. And
obviously,
you know, obviously, because she's got some, you know, some proper like mean songs.
Get
right in there. That's what I always, when I see, you know, pre-match, always see Morsy by himself with his headphones in, just in the zone. And maybe that's a good question to ask AJ next time you speak to him. You know, what does he listen pre-match?
What would be your pre-match song of choice then, Rossi, Rihanna, of the vast back catalogue of that Rihanna's produced? What would be your pre-match vibes?
There is a lot. You pick one spot here. One that comes in my mind is Diamonds. I don't know why. You know, Shine Right Like a Diamond in the sky. There's loads. Honestly, it'll be a mix of all of her hits. Because I've got that, to be fair. I have actually got a playlist of just all her hits.
Is she on All of the Lights, Kanye West? Because that's one of the best walkout songs.
Ooh. Yeah, I think she is. I think she is.
That would definitely be high on my playlist. We also saw Brandon Williams walking around the pitch with Adam Eder, didn't we?
Yeah.
Hopefully having a little word in his ear, telling him he's nothing. Anyway, friends, should we move on to the game now, Stewie? After all the excitement pre-game, as you've already touched on it, it's hard not to, given what happened and given all the build-up, and we all gave it big beans, didn't we? It's hard not for full time to come and it'd be 2-2, and it feels like the stage was set for it to be the day. And I think maybe part of that, Stu, as we were conversing on Saturday night, was I hadn't even considered that Town wouldn't beat Norwich. Do you know what I mean? That's probably a bit of an odd admittance now, because they hadn't beat them for 14 years. But it hadn't even crossed my mind that they wouldn't, because everything has changed under Kieran McKenna. And we've talked about the old kind of jinxes and stuff. And for me, and I've said this on multiple occasions, it was just really how they won. So to sit there at the end of the game and they hadn't won, it just felt a bit flat, mate.
It did, and maybe we were all a little guilty of getting sucked into that, but there were reasons for it. It was Ipswich's form. It was the fact they had an extra day to recover in preparation for this match. It was the fact that they've got a cool, calm, collected manager and captain that we hoped and believed would take the emotion out of the occasion. And do you know what? All of the things that we kind of predicted did kind of come true in the game. And on another occasion, did we get a bit carried away with some of the score predictions? I think we had a 3-1, I had 4-2, you had 5-2, Mark. I mean, that game could have finished 4-2, 5-2, couldn't it? We should really be talking, or could be talking quite easily, about Nathan Broadhead being a Derby Day hat-trick hero. Tons of chances in this game. And they were the better side over the course of the 90 minutes. It was just one of those days where the chances weren't taken, a couple of scruffy goals against, and it just had to be in this match where that perfect storm kind of happened.
Yeah, if you that first Broadhead chance, because it was quite even, wasn't it? Then Town started to turn the screw a little bit. And that first Broadhead chance where he sat down two defenders, went around the keeper. If you'd have paused it at that point, and Chris Tarrant had come on and gone, well, I've bet £1 million on this, Mark. What do you say? And I'd have gone, yeah, no problem. He's going to score that. And then he doesn't. And I had a team from the BBC next to me, not observing press box etiquette, it's fair to say. The guy next to me, he was very much a partisan Ipswich Town fan. And after Broadhead missed that chance, and then he had another chance just after, didn't he? I turned to him and said, I hope it's not going to be one of those days. It just started to feel a little bit like that. AJ, what was your observations before Town did open the scoring?
It was weird in the sense that it felt cagey, but it also wasn't. It just felt like something had to give. And I think I've said it in a few games, it felt like it was going to either be a mistake or a wonder goal. It wasn't really either, to be honest. But that was kind of the flow that I saw, at least, and it just felt like heading towards that. It was like one of those, oh, is it going to be one of those days situations? Because it wasn't the only miss in that first half, as I'm sure we touched on. There was a couple of others that came after that, another from Broadhead and one from Burns. And when I saw the Norwich corners going in, I thought from set play, from open play, it was nothing really. They were not really offering anything, and it was the corners, and I was kind of thinking, oh, I'm not really too keen with how Town are dealing with these. Norwich are trying to get it on top of the goalkeeper. They're trying to crowd the box. They're trying to make it pinball around and get a scruffy goal. And if you don't take your chances, all it would take would be one corner in to undo them. And thankfully, at least in that moment, that wasn't how it played out.
Yeah, those in-swing corners were dangerous, weren't they? But Norwich, I mean, generally speaking, I don't think Norwich created a lot. Rossi, when Broadhead, we did finally get the goal, and there was this huge explosion of noise. And I will say, by the way, pre-game and during the start of the game, it was unbelievably loud in Portman Road. I don't know how that compares to the loudest you boys have ever heard it, but from what I've heard from other people, that it would definitely have been up there. It was like a crescendo of noise, wasn't it? It was literally, you could feel parts of the building shaking. And then Broadhead scores. And I hadn't realised, actually, watching it live, what a nice little cushioned header it is from George Hurst back towards him, his sixth assist of the season. And I felt then, I actually tweeted it, Ross, lift off, because it felt to me then as if, right, they've got the opening goal, this is now going to go on, and Town are going to win this big. I did delete it shortly after Norwich equalised. But that was a feeling. Was I wrong to feel like that, Rossi?
No, because, as we've all said, you know, That first half should have been 3 or 4. That was where it should have been out of sight in that first half. You know, Broadhead does the hard bit easy, you know, definitely the opportunities that he did have, and then he just couldn't finish. And then, yeah, this one, he was right there, bang, you know, celebration. And yeah, I felt it was lift off. I thought, here we go, you know, get that goal, and then that was going to be it. But we all know what happened after that. But yeah, it was unbelievable scenes. You know, I was just looking around, everyone just going there. Obviously, I made the rookie move and decided to sit basically underneath the Norwich fans. And obviously, when they scored, and obviously when we scored, they weren't happy. And obviously, they were happy when they scored. But I was like, maybe I shouldn't have sat here just in case they chuck things down or anything. But I just wanted to sit there because I thought it was a good angle to have. But but yeah, that was great. And I loved the blue action thing once again with Ipswich Town Football Club. Well, that's another. They're just so creative, these boys, these guys. They've got a lot of time on their hands to put these together because that was just impressive. Once again, just and fair play to all the fans to, you know, pull up the blue and white, you know, sheets to make it all look great. Yeah, when Broadhead's goal went in, it was scenes, as they say.
Yeah, it did look really good, didn't it? And hopefully one day we can get someone from Blue Action on here because I really want to speak to them about how long it takes to organise something like that and the planning of it. So, Stewie, Town were 1-0 up. I'd tweeted liftoff. It felt like liftoff. But then I guess you'd call them sucker punchers because Norwich got back on level terms through a bit of a scrappy goal. And then they actually went 2-1 up, which I don't think anyone had on their bingo board for the day. And definitely, and I don't want to kind of spend too much time harping on about this, but you could definitely argument that both goals shouldn't have been allowed to stand and maybe wouldn't have stood in the Premier League.
Maybe. I think Ipswich had, Kieran McKenna had said it was a 3-0 first half performance and it ended up 1-1. That's certainly the case. Yeah. That Broadhead chance, just to go back to that, I mean, that would have been a derby goal for the ages, wouldn't it? Mm. The way he sat down two Norwich defenders, I could just picture that sort of photograph of two Norwich players sort of laying on the turf, mouths open as the net bulged, but instead he puts it the wrong side of the post from 6 yards out. Burns had smashed one over. Broadhead put another one wide inside the box. Just of all days, their shooting boots were left at home. Connor Chaplin, who always hits the target, dragged a couple of shots, pulled a couple of shots wide of the post. Maybe was that sort of the occasion? Maybe a bit of tension in when they were pulling the trigger. I don't know. So, yeah, you were wondering, that was the feeling as that first half sort of played out. Is this going to come back to bite them on the bum? But when that first goal went in, you're right, it felt like, okay, Norwich are going to have to play a little bit more open, come at Ipswich a little bit more now. That will play into Ipswich's hands. And, yeah, sucker punches is the best way of putting it. You touched upon it earlier. They had looked sort of dangerous from making it those sort of bitty, scrappy moments from set plays, curling corners right in underneath the crossbar, crowding the goalkeeper. And ultimately, it's a couple of sort of high balls into the box that leads to goals. The offside shouts for both are marginal, I would say. I don't want to spend too long kind of going, oh, both those goals should have been ruled out. I think Ipswich do need to look at defending both those moments better. The first one is two crosses, one from the left and another one from the right that aren't stopped. You go rewind to the Watford game in midweek. We talked about not stopping enough crosses into the box, and there's been other games where that's been the case as well. And then after half time, it's a long throw that's just not dealt with well enough. But undoubtedly, some misfortune with both those goals. Is there a handball from Jonathan Rowe? Ball looks like it sort of rolls up his arm a little bit before he produces, in fairness, quite an inventive finish. But he doesn't catch the bicycle kick cleanly at all, does he? And that sort of could have gone anywhere, but pops up off Wolfenden's thigh and goes straight back to him. So, yeah, an element of misfortune about both goals, but we can't keep saying that Ipswich are... It's not one. They're not goals to, to sort of sweep under the rug either, I don't think, because Ipswich have conceded quite a few goals, certainly at home this season. And we kept saying there'll come a point where you can't keep getting away with conceding two goals at home. And unfortunately, it caught up with them in the game they didn't want it to.
Should we talk about that a little bit, AJ? Because before the game, I was on the Pinken podcast and all the boys on the Norwich end of things were openly worried about being on the wrong end of a tonking. They all thought, I think, in their heart of hearts, Ipswich are going to win the game. And Connor said to me, can you give me some reason for optimism? And I said, well, I mean, Town do concede goals and they have a habit for doing it. And they did it again in this game, two goals, again, kind of out of nothing, really. And Jonathan Rowe is a Derby Day hero from that side of things. So he's got a brace to his name. And Terry Hunt, one of our columnists this morning, said we can't. Yes, Town play lovely football and it's very exciting and that kind of stuff, but you can't keep conceding goals like they're doing.
Yeah, I get that to an extent. At the same time, I think we've got a big enough sample size that suggests that maybe that is that necessarily the case? I don't know. I'm not really sure to what extent I want to criticise it, because in terms of home games, what is it? We've had 11 now, I think, off the top of my head. And from those, there's been one draw and one defeat, and they've won the rest. And they've won the rest by, I mean, the teams that have only conceded two to Town at home are Norwich, Stoke and Coventry, the only ones. Every other team has conceded at least three goals to Ipswich.
Mm.
The vast majority of those have ended up losing the game at Portman Road. And I also kind of think it is a big enough sample size to suggest that do you want to necessarily do something that would end up moving away from that? I would like Town to improve the defensive side, absolutely. And I think it's something that Kieran McKenna will look to doing, because you want to create as close to perfect team as you possibly can. But at the same time, from that sample size that we have, they've shown that over an extended period, over a number of months, they can go and score X amount of goals and they can outscore the opposition. It's just how they are at home. And I wouldn't want to jeopardize what has got them this far by changing something defensively, by going down a different route. So I'm not really sure to what extent I want to, I don't know, if criticise or critique or kind of point out areas that they want to improve. That's always the way you want to kind of take these things in football. But at the same time, I think given the start across the whole, what has it been, 3-4 months that we've had so far, and what they've done at home so far, shows that I wouldn't necessarily jump on it kind of being unsustainable, because the sample size, I think, is big enough.
I think what Kieran McKenna would say is, he would say, we're not conceding loads of chances from open play. And again, that was the case in this. They weren't goals that came from sustained moments of pressure. There wasn't periods of the game where you thought, oh, they've got to dig in here a little bit. They're moments. And it's been the case in a lot of the games. If you got it, looking from the outside in, you see these scorelines at Portman Road of 4-3s and 3-2s, and you think they're sort of wide open games where Ipswich are kind of leaving themselves open at the back. That's not the case. They have shown that they can keep clean sheets. Their clean sheet record is probably up there in terms of the championship. So I don't think there's anything sort of structurally wrong with the team. Like, naively, they're leaving themselves too open at times. They are sort of moments, bolt from the blue moments. But also, that doesn't mean that you can just sort of shrug your shoulders and move on from that. There is, I would, rather than sort of focus too much on the misfortune elements of those goals, I would look at it and say, well, that's two crosses that have been allowed to enter our box. Forget about the finish and how that unfolded. Is that something we need to look at? And then certainly the long throw. Okay, George Hurst alludes a bit of a wrestling match with, I think it's Ashley Barnes, when the long throw goes in. But the bit that I'd look at is Nathan Broadhead. If you watch it back, he's the man assigned to marking Jonathan Rowe, and he's, it's just a lapse in concentration. And that's not the first time that's happened with him in terms of defending set pieces. So this is Ipswich's pursuit of excellence. Of course, we're not sitting here massively critiquing anything about them, because of, you know, by and large, it's been superb what they've done. And the table suggests that. But yeah, in this pursuit of excellence and McKenna leaving no stone unturned, there's some little things that they just still need to look at to keep this all going.
Okay, so 2-1 down. Not what anyone had in the script, I don't think. Even the most optimistic of Norwich fans probably didn't see them being 2-1 up at that point in the game, particularly when you look at how the teams had played as well up to that point. And then I guess we shouldn't be surprised, because Town have shown it so many times. But what I really enjoyed was the way they just kept sticking to their principles, kept playing, kept looking for the openings in the usual way. They didn't panic. And then obviously Wes Burns gets an equaliser, Rossi. I actually broke press box etiquette then for the first time in my career. I've sat cage side watching Arnold Allen fight. I've been next to the ring while Fabio Wardley's been going punch for punch with big, nasty, horrible heavyweights trying to win the English title, or defend his English title, I think it was. And it took to this moment, Wes Burns producing a trademark Wes Burns leather it with the right foot finish. I stood up and I gave it the beans. I went, yes! And then I immediately felt bad. But how are you feeling watching it?
Yeah, I will admit, I was very flat at that point going, as you mentioned, that wasn't in the script. Mm. We're losing 2-1 against them. And I just felt that the ground very much just went a bit silent, didn't it? And I think we all went, shit, here we go.
It was just that feeling, wasn't it? Like you're kind of looking around and you're thinking, this can't be happening, can it? Again, against this side. This is not what anyone thought would happen.
No. But deep down I did feel this team is different though. It's different to, you know, the old teams of the past and all that, and you know, we've come from behind before and this team has got goals in them. And, you know, I was saying, I think a lot of us were saying, can there be a hero? Obviously, this is a team of, this isn't a team of individuals, but I feel like it needs someone to step up to go and score. And Wes Burns, I think, is probably the right man to do that. And I didn't appreciate the goal until I watched it back, because it is a great strike.
It's a really good goal, yeah.
And yeah. It was just a great moment and a great goal to equalise. Obviously, we were all hoping it was going to be, you know, a kickstart of us scoring and scoring again. But no, it was a great moment to say, yep, equalise, and we'll move on from it. But yeah, I loved the scenes, once again, him celebrating. He just went like that. Obviously, deep down, I knew we still need to get another goal to win this. But yeah, thank God we did score that equaliser.
Yeah, so the equaliser goes in, Stewie. And I guess then the feeling is, Town are going to go on and win this, but we'll come on to the performance as a whole maybe after this. But other than maybe the Nathan Broadhead chance, which I saw some people on social media, by the way, referring to the gun save as one of the greatest in Norwich City history. I mean, it was a decent save, and it's probably not for me to say that to rank Norwich City saves. But other than that kind of one chance, Stewie, it didn't really feel to me like there were that many opportunities. As They didn't create a huge amount, did they, after that?
No, what was the Burns goal on 60 minutes? So there's still half an hour plus 6 minutes of stoppage time, but it didn't feel like they were banging the door down at any stage. Chapman put a free kick. Close, but not close enough past the post. The Broadhead chance towards the end. Could he have done a little bit better with that? It's a reasonable save, but one you'd expect him to make. I think maybe, you know, there was two things that came into play there. I thought Norwich, you know, desperate, bodies on the line. To be fair to them, they were organised. They closed down space as well. They defended well. And then maybe a little bit of the week physically and mentally catching up with Ipswich a bit as well. Gone to Middlesbrough, you've gone to Watford, then you've had all the build up to this game. Maybe a little bit of that came into play, but you know, they had a lot of the ball in the final third, didn't they? But didn't create loads. So it meant honours even.
Mm. What about the performance as a whole, AJ? We've talked about the goals, the key moments. What did you make of the performance, as it were, of both sides? Because I think, and you may disagree, but I thought Town played some nice stuff. They obviously created chances. Norwich, I wasn't, I've got to say, massively impressed with. They kind of, obviously we know Jonathan Rowe's a danger man, but I don't think even they would say he played his best game. What did you make of it?
Yeah, I think that they were largely pretty dominant. I mean, I spoke to Wes Burns after the game, and I think he was very much taking the positives from it. Mm. I think the squad as a whole had been doing that from the game. It was kind of like I suggested, you know, good performance, but not the result you want. And he kind of went, yeah, I guess, you know, I think that they are, especially with this one, a performance focused team. I'm not necessarily sure about dominated the game start to finish, but I think it was a pretty dominant display overall. Mm. I think that, as we kind of touched upon, as McKenna said, another day, they're 3-0 up at half-time, or at least 2-0 up at half-time. And at that point, do you see Norwich getting back into it? Especially not at 3, let's be totally honest. That was never going to happen. It would have turned into a bit of a rout, I would have said. Mm. Just kind of the way the cookie crumbles, to be perfectly honest. These games, with the way that Town play as well, it wasn't kind of like the open end-to-end kind of thing. And it's not necessarily like it's been that all season. But with the way that they play, they are at risk of having these kind of results in these kind of games. It's just a shame it was this one, I think.
Yeah.
And I think that if this had happened in another game, let's say, I mean, it's difficult with the ones at the moment, but let's say it happened at Middlesbrough or Coventry a couple of weeks ago, we'd be coming away from that and saying, oh, that's a bit annoying. On to the next one. That's fine. It's just about the circumstances. I don't think that we'd be looking at the negatives in the same way. It's just because it's the game. And I think that, it's the context of it. And when you look forward, when you look beyond that, as I'm sure we're going to do, it's one where you can't really take that many kind of negatives from what they actually did on the day.
Yeah, I mean, it take all the emotion out of it on any other day, being 2-1 down at home against, you know, on a day where maybe the shooting boots aren't quite on, to come back and get a draw, you'd go, yeah, that's decent. But it's just the emotion around the game, isn't it? So I thought you summed it up quite perfectly, if you don't mind me saying, when you put in your Stu Says bit for yesterday morning, you can't win them all, but it's just a shame they didn't win this one. What did you make of the overall kind of performance and showing from various individual players?
Better team, no doubt about it. As we say, yeah. I think that was probably a 4-2, 5-2 type game. Mm. Created a load of chances. Did Lackey have a save to make? Did Norwich, beyond the one long Hoyt cross into the box and one chucked long throw into the box and a few corners, did they ever really threaten? I think Kieran McKenna summed it up. If you play that game 10 times over, Ipswich probably win it 9 times out of 10. But it's coulda, woulda, shoulda, isn't it? And I'm not going to pretend. We'll get onto the bigger picture stuff, and there is 101 reasons to feel good about this football club at the moment. But I'm not going to pretend that it didn't hurt and it wasn't a bit flat because of the nature of the context of the derby and 14 years and all that sort of stuff. But there you go. It's done now. An emotional day out of the way. And Ipswich can crack on with their season.
Yeah, there's on the subject of Lackey, there was a wonderful pronunciation. We talked about pronunciation with Glenn on the live pod last week. And on one of the highlights packages I'd watched, Lackey was pronounced as Hladecki, which I quite enjoyed. Rossi, one more note, which again came about from sitting next to an Ipswich Town biased BBC man. And he was saying, when's he going to change things? When's he going to bring subs on? And I said, I reckon he'll probably change 3 or 4 at once. Were you slightly surprised by the subs in terms of, A, I don't think he actually made a sub until the 78th minute. And it was Harness came on, wasn't it? And Hutchinson. And then he didn't make any more subs until, I think, the 90th minute. Were you slightly surprised by that?
A little bit. I think it's such, for a derby game, I'm sure it's tricky to make the right decision, you know, if the flow of the game is still, but then, you know, we weren't really creating those chances. So maybe we needed some fresh legs to freshen up a little bit and have players run at, you know, a tiring Norwich defence, because they had, like, you know, some old boys, didn't they? Shane Duffy and McLean, they're very, very old indeed.
very old indeed. Are they like 31 or something?
Well, they're past my threshold, right, boys? They're past my threshold.
They are both 31.
Very old indeed. Write that down, yeah. Friends.
Sorry. Sorry, Shane Duffy and all that. All that jazz. Yeah.
Amazing.
But you know what I mean. Like, Torren Legs are veterans of the game. Yeah. And, you know, like, Amari Hutchinson, I don't know if we're going to get onto his opportunity, because that would have been massive if he scored it, obviously, because it would have been the winner eventually. But I think maybe it would have, maybe a bit earlier. But
which opportunity was that, Rossi? Have I missed something out there? Where, after the save?
No, it was when the ball went into, crossed into him, and his legs got a bit tangled and he just missed it. He basically had like a tap in, didn't he, boys? I don't know if you remember this. He just had a tap in and it just got tangled on his legs, basically.
I vaguely
remember him getting into a good position and there was something.
I'm going to find it.
It looked like after the Broadhead save, from the angle we were sitting at, it looked like it was going to just drop to Amari and he was just going to tap it in.
Is that what you're talking about? The Broadhead save? Yeah.
Sub Stewie, were you surprised by that? Because we've seen
A little bit, yeah. Because I thought Hutchinson looked, you know, he's been such a live wire. He didn't come on till 78, did he? And there was a couple of little moments, his foot, like, instantly. But he was sort of you know, got the ball down the right side of the box, and he's probably the last player you want to be facing. Tired legs in the latter stages of a derby. It's, thought Dane Scarlett, who came on in the last minute, had quite a little lively cameo in stoppage time as well, but didn't really sort of have enough time to get himself into it. But I can also understand why the manager wanted to sort of keep faith with the team that has sort of played the most number of games and give them a chance to be heroes in the derby as well. So, yeah, it, making a sort of, was it triple change on 90 minutes doesn't give them that long to sort of get involved in it. But I can also understand why you don't want to take Connor Chaplin, a man who scored so many goals for Ipswich Town, off, and Broadhead, even though it hadn't been their day up until that point, you still feel like they're your X-factor guys that are possible of doing something at any moment. So, yeah, it is what it is, I guess.
It is what it is, the greatest football cliche out there. Let's hear, boys, let's move on to post-game now, shall we? Shall we hear from Kieran McKenna about what he made of the game? Here we go.
Kieran, honours even in a topsy-turvy derby, how do you reflect on that one?
Yeah, I thought it was a great occasion in terms of the build-up, and the supporters, you know, did the club proud in terms of the atmosphere they created. I thought it was a really good performance. I thought we were the better team by a considerable margin, created lots and lots of chances, give away very few chances. And there was lots of things that we can build on from the performance. Of course, the frustration is conceding two goals from sort of hopeful balls that ricocheted around in our box. But beyond that, there's so many positives that we can take in the performance. And, of course, only a point, and we would have loved to have given the supporters the victory, but I think the team in blue can certainly take a lot from that game.
Yeah, I don't think anyone could disagree with what Kieran says there. Certainly the much better side, I would say, on the day. And I enjoyed the game. I thought it was a good game, enjoyable, and I thought Town played well. They just didn't have the rub of the green in terms of scoring the goals, did they? Stewie, you've obviously spent a lot more time around Kieran McKenna than I have, but it felt to me, and I know he's Mr. Calm and consider, you know, kind of articulate and logical and that kind of stuff, it did feel to me as if he was slightly flat. Would that be fair? Maybe there's a little bit of frustration tinged in the post-match?
Yeah, I guess naturally he knew how much it meant to the supporters. And I think it was just probably the same feelings as all of us really knew his team were the better side, and they weren't able to deliver the 3 points that the performance deserved, really. But I don't think you can argue with anything he said there. I thought, you know, he certainly wasn't speaking overly emotionally after that game. I think we've heard him. I thought he was analysing the performance pretty well and stripped the emotions out of it. And, you know, we were the better side, and on most days we'd have won, but it didn't happen on this occasion.
Let's hear from something else he said then, because he was asked about the fan greeting. Some of his comments, I think, have exercised the Norwich side of things, shall we say. They spent quite a long time talking about it on the Pinken podcast yesterday, going so far as to call Kieran McKenna salty for these comments. Let's listen to them now.
Yeah, it was brilliant. Yeah, look, it's such appreciated. It's fantastic memories. I said today it wasn't going to win us the game, it wasn't going to lose us the game, because I know the players won't get overawed by that type of thing. But I think it strengthens the bond, to be honest, going forward, day like today, where you see what the club is capable of, you see the atmosphere that was created before the game, you see the following, you see the interest in the town because the team's doing well and we're playing in a derby, the vocal support that the players got, the performance that was delivered under big pressure against a team who are, you know, 18 months ago were operating in the Premier League, and for that team then to be, you know, supporters are celebrating at the end of the game off of a draw and we're 21 points clear. I think I don't need to emphasise it too much that there's, you know, I think lots of positivity to take from today as a football club. And, you know, the day's done now. Both teams take the point and, you know, we try and build on it. We've got big games coming up. We've got tough games coming up. But I think today's a day where the club, from everything I saw, represented themselves, you know, well and showed the progress that we're making.
Go on then, AJ, on you go. So McKenna saying, the, you know, Norwich fans celebrating a draw, which kept Town 21 points ahead of them. kind of shows, I guess, that how far Town have come. What did you make of that?
I agree. Wouldn't go down the line of saying it's saltiness. I think it's also a bit of a reality, because maybe in an era where Town, well, I mean, I saw it mentioned or described on Twitter as the banter era. I don't know what you guys would go as far as describing it, but, you know, quite a dark time for the club. It might have been one where Town would have gone to Carrow Road or had a home game and they'd be celebrating getting a point against what at the time was a really, really good Norwich team, a Norwich team that were, you know, bouncing up and down between the Premier League and the Championship and looking like a really strong side for the level. And it just kind of feels like it was totally the other way around today. Burns, when I asked him about it, kind of said maybe this fans can feel this is the start of a time of change. It's been a derby that has, I guess, technically, based on wins, at least been dominated by one side. Maybe they can sense that there's something changing here, even if it wasn't today that marked that change. If you look at the performance, I mean, can any of you guys remember a derby where Town dominated like this? I don't really think that there is going to be anything like that. Even if the result didn't match it, this is still something that I don't think any of us have seen in these kind of games in terms of the performance levels. And yeah, I think there's a confidence that eventually that will change things.
It's yeah, not salty, is it? It's just facts.
No. Yeah.
Just facts there. I'm not going to sort of go down the route of taking the mickey out of Norwich celebrating it wildly, which they did. You saw the scenes afterwards. If roles were reversed, Ipswich would be doing exactly the same. And that's just all part of it. You know, Ipswich, with all the build-up beforehand, if you put yourself in Norwich fans' shoes, you know, there was this feeling that it was almost a foregone conclusion. They had fear going into this game. Ipswich had confidence. You've got all the build-up beforehand with the flares and everything. They're looking at sort of the, clearly the football landscape is changing in terms of where Ipswich are and where they're at. And Ipswich didn't win. And so, of course, they're going to be laughing their heads off about it. It'd be the same if it was the other way around. And just got to suck that up a little bit, to be honest, from an Ipswich perspective. But, you know, the bigger picture stuff, it doesn't need emphasising. The facts are there in terms of where Ipswich are at in the table, what's happening with the ownership, what's happening with the manager, what's happening with this sort of relatable group of players. And I think deep down, Norwich know that they're probably heading towards, you know, football goes in cycles, and, you know, they haven't had the full taste of what Ipswich Town went through over a, you know, you talk about the sort of the banter years or whatever you want to call it. You know, that was Ipswich were in the doldrums for quite some time. And, you know, I hope it, you know, Norwich might it's going to probably get worse before it gets better for Norwich from that point of view. When parachute payments dry up, it depends what happens with ownership there, of course, and things like that. But yeah, it obviously Ipswich are in a far, far better place as a football club at this moment in time. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, I mean, listen, we said it already in terms of positive. You take the emotion out of this game, the fact it was Norwich, the performance, the fact they should have won 4-2, 5-2, chances created, they came from 2-1 behind, they didn't lose the game. That's all positive, isn't it? Rossi, what were the fans saying after the game? Obviously, you went outside and spoke to a bunch of fans for game day. How are they feeling?
They're very flat, to be honest. They were flat because obviously, you know, we're so excited, you know, pre-match and the scenes at the start, and everyone was very confident going into the game because, you know, this is the best opportunity to beat them. And, you know, obviously we were the better side. Obviously they said some great stuff on game day. So check that out and have a little plug there. But they just know this team are just good. They just know that they're just enjoying the moment, aren't they? At the end of the day, look at the points totals, you know, 21 points now still away from Norwich, aren't we? 11 points or something away from Leeds.
10. It didn't change anything because Leeds were held by Coventry at home. So nothing changed. I mean, nothing changed despite the fact they didn't win the game. So if you look at it, as you say, if you take all the emotion out of it, it's actually fine, isn't it? There's no reason to like be kind of down about it. It's just the fact it was Norwich, that's all. Rossi, do you feel slightly responsible? You may have jinxed it by bringing the game day jacket to do post-match interviews.
Well, you guys predicted big scorelines. I just went 2-0 well, before that was,
yeah.
3-1 still. Okay.
Are we calling 3-1 a big scoreline?
Four goals, you know.
Yeah, there were four goals.
True. But then I said this, if I didn't bring it, and if they lost or drew, well, they drew anyway, then I would have been jinxed. I just brought it because I had that confidence of going, yeah, we're going to win, obviously. Yeah. So I won it there. And if I didn't, didn't bring it and we won, it's like, oh, you're so, you know, why Ross? Why have you not brought it? You know, that's great scenes. So the problem is, I think a lot of people said, oh, if I didn't wear my lucky socks or I didn't wear, you know, something, it's one of those, isn't it? You know, going into their games, if people believe in that sort of stuff, you know, if you don't wear this or don't do that or don't go to that pub before match, don't say hello to that person, you know, go under a ladder and all that, you think you'll jinx it. It's one of those things, isn't it?
I think it's definitely your fault. Right, shall we hear from Wes Burns before we wrap things up?
Yeah, really nice goal from you to equalise, Neil.
Yeah, I'll take them all, to be fair. I mean, it's nice to score in a derby, as always, but, you know, I just wish it was on the right end of the result. Yeah.
Is it a dressing room that feels frustrated about the result? Is there one that is seeing positives from this point in this performance?
You mean, you know, we'll always take the positives from every performance, really. Like we said, we were dominant from start to finish, and I think that's massive for us, really. You know, the pressure and the magnitude of the game, for us to go out there and show our bravery as we always do, to play our style and you know, impose ourselves on, you know, what they keep saying is a much better team than ours. I think we were pretty dominant throughout.
Yeah, your first experience of the East Anglian derby, how was it from your
perspective? Yeah, I really enjoyed it, to be fair. It's probably up there with one of my most enjoyable games. Obviously, the goal adds to that, I think. But no, it was a great occasion. You know, the fans came out in full force, you know, home and away, to be fair. It's brilliant.
Yeah, finally just touching on the fans, how much did that mean to you as a group when you look at the same or similar scenes to the Exeter game last season? Huge display coming in, another one in the ground, there's a lot going on.
Yeah, it's unreal, to be fair. You know, I think coming into the game we knew, you know, kind of the history beyond the fixture and, you know, how much it means to the Ipswich fans. Obviously, it's been a while since we, you know, beat Norwich as well. Obviously, we didn't manage to do it today, but I think the fans are possibly sensing a turn in the whole, you know, saga. But it means a lot to us as players, and it really gives us that extra percent when we need it.
A couple of notes post that chat then. He makes reference there to everyone saying Norwich were a much better team. He did then go on to say, someone asked him about that, and he said in terms of the value. I don't think anyone was going into this game saying that Norwich were a better team than Ipswich Town, but I think if you compare the relative values of the sides, I guess they'd use that as a bit of motivation. And also, an odd question, someone asked Kieran McKenna if he wished the fans hadn't done the bus greeting, which I thought was a really odd question in the context of things. Anyway, but I want to finish, Rossi, with positives. And I like something that I think it came from you on game day. So it's all right when we beat him at Carrow Road and secure promotion. That'll be the perfect antidote to maybe the little bit of flatness post game here.
Yeah, because that's part of the big running, isn't it? I think the 7th of April or something like that, and you know it's going to be a big month that in April. I think a lot of people just got over it pretty quickly. I think they went, oh well, you know, we move on. You know, we're in a good position. We've got some bigger games coming up. But yeah, that's going to be the Carrow game. You know, there's no pressure on us really for that one because, you know, Norwich are going to have to play, you know, better football at their own ground. If not, their fans are going to turn on them. But us, we'll just be there and we'll just play our normal stuff. And away from home, we've got some very impressive away wins already on the books, and we'll have hopefully a few more in the coming weeks and months ahead before that game. But that would be a very, very nice indeed.
I love
get it carried away, though.
I love it, Rossi. That's what's going to happen. It's written. Don't forget your game day jacket that day either. Stewie, do you want to wrap things up then in terms of this game? What will be your kind of overall thoughts, takeaways from this one? A lot of it is to do with just the emotion around who the opposition were, isn't it? In terms of feeling flat and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, I think Alex is right. I think if that had been against anyone else, you'd say, better team, could have scored a hatful today, found themselves in a difficult position behind. Points not the end of the world, given how good the home form is. And given, you know, ultimately, you look at it as a week as a whole, 7 points from those three games. We're talking about how December looked so tricky on picture, on paper. You'd have taken that as well. So you can put that bit of perspective on it. It's just stripping away everything. It's just because it was Norwich, wasn't it, that adds to that flat feeling. The whole kind of dominance in the derby thing, it's interesting to note that 6 of the last 9 meetings have all been draws now. So it's not like they've been getting beaten in every game against Norwich. But it has been the fact that they've been yo-yoing up and down between the Premier League and the Championship, and Ipswich had been down in League One. That had all added to this kind of feeling of hurt, hadn't it? So, I think they know that the tide is turning, and they're clinging on to that, and rightly so. So I'm not going to take that away. It'd be the same if the other way round. But, in some ways, I'm kind of quite pleased that this day is done and out of the way a little bit now, and Ipswich can kind of focus. You know, the great thing is that we've got two huge games coming up that can kind of very quickly, hopefully, put this one behind us.
Absolutely massive games coming up. They know, Sue, as you say, they know. They know what way the tide is turning. AJ, your first East Anglian derby as a professional journalist covering it. How will you reflect on it?
In the long term, an enjoyable experience, I think, because it's not like any other game that I've covered, at least. I mean, I've covered 3 different teams now across quite a short career doing this and gone to a variety of different kind of games here and there. I don't think that this really matched up to anything in terms of how exciting this was, in terms of the build-up, in terms of everything before the game, in terms of everything during the game. Definitely a different kind of feeling, even when you compare the derbies that I'd done before in the past. I've done a few. I mean, the hype going into it and the hype around the club. I went to these games back, God, would have been maybe six years ago or something like that. And I was just picking seats off on general sale and popping in a couple of days before. This was one that sold out for members and things like that, weeks in advance, all the hype around it. In the moment and on the day, it didn't work out. But I think that and everything that comes with it in terms of, as I said, the build-up and the fact it was such a quick sellout and all the hype and all the excitement around the club just shows where things are going at the moment.
And obviously the next game coming up is inarguably a much bigger game for Town, Stewie. The trip to Leeds, who remain 10 points behind Town after their result at the weekend. A chance for them clearly to make up some ground and do the double over Town this season. Morsey's available, another positive. He didn't get booked. Yep. And we head into, as you say, a couple of absolutely gigantic games, Leeds and then Leicester. What a time to be alive, Stewie.
There was a slight heart and mouth moment when Sam Morsey went into a tackle in the first half, wasn't there? And another time, I think, where Luongo went in, and there's always that split second because they've both got 5 on the back of their shirts and they're both in the same sort of area of the pitch. That there's a couple of times. Is it Morsey? No, it's Luongo. It's okay. So, yeah, him coming through the game without a booking is massive. Ipswich go to Leeds, who have just lost to Sunderland and been held at home to Coventry. So it's kept that 10-point gap there. We kept talking, you know, weeks ago, would you rather beat Norwich or would you rather beat Leeds? And what sort of configuration of points, if you could pick over the Christmas period? Well, Leeds is probably a bigger game, isn't it, in the context of where Ipswich are at.
Yeah.
You know, it would have been nice to get one over Norwich, but in the grand scheme of things, where Ipswich are at in the table, this is huge on Saturday. So they'll go there like they do in every single away game, looking to attack the game, take it to the opposition, believe that they can win. Might be a few little bit of edginess in the crowd at Elland Road. It is a crowd that can get fully behind their team, and that will be absolutely the case. Intimidating atmosphere from the off, but there's also a crowd that you can turn as well. So cannot wait for Saturday.
Listen, if Town win on Saturday, this draw against Norwich will be quickly forgotten, won't it? They didn't lose. They came back, they got a point, and then they went and beat Leeds and moved even further ahead of third place, potentially, depending on how results go with Southampton, obviously up there now as well. One more thing I want to mention boys, just in terms of news before we head off today, and it's not to do with the Norwich game or the Leeds game, it's just something interesting. Emmy Hughes has retired, shared it last night. And Stewie, when Emmy obviously came on loan, first of all, and scored that very memorable goal against Newcastle on Sir Bobby Robson Day, that big win. It was Easter Monday, wasn't it? I seem to think off the top of my head. Then he signed, and it was kind of one of the most exciting, I guess, signings of the Evans era. They certainly went big in terms of making a song and dance about it, and it was a 4-year deal, and it felt really important at the time. But then Emmy, just sadly, it's one of these things, isn't it, where it must be so frustrating as a professional athlete when you're constantly blighted by injuries. How will you think about Emmy Hughes's time at Town and as a footballer?
Unfortunately, injuries is the first word that comes to mind, isn't it? You're right. The Newcastle goal, I think there was a late winner at Villa, or was it equaliser? I can't remember. Winner, Ross, yeah?
Yeah, winner.
Winner at Villa, yeah. Those two games and goals kind of stick in my mind with Emir Hughes. Ipswich, for years, a goal-scoring midfielder, you know, a creative midfielder seemed to be the issue, and he looked to be the answer to that genuine box-to-box talent, someone who'd come through at Manchester City and, could his body was never quite right. Just breakdown after breakdown, and, it's just a shame that it didn't work out that way for Emir Hughes, but I'm sure Ipswich fans will wish him well.
Absolutely. Just sad. He's only just turned 30. Quite powerful, I thought, the message, Rossi. The line, this path is no longer meant for me.
Yeah, sorry, I had my mic muted there. He put a little video on his Instagram, like a good 2-minute video of all these, you know, pictures of him in action for all of his other clubs. And he's got loads of great lines from it. And, you know, when your body maybe just tells you that, yeah, you can't play at a high level anymore, you might as well just, you know, go on to a different path. And I think he's got a, you know, a big future ahead of him. You know, he's only 30. So, we shall see what's next for him. And I remember that goal. I was at the goal game for the Aston Villa late winner. I was in that away end. And then also I was there for his goal against Newcastle. What absolute scenes. But just injuries, unfortunately, has hampered his career. And wish him all the best.
Sorry to hear that, Emir. You are very old, though, in fairness, according to Ross. Right, friends, just a couple more things then before we go. Just a reminder to support our sponsor, please use the code KOA at manscaped.com for 20% off and free delivery on all that excellent clobber there. I've still got all your respective trimmers in the back of my car, friends. We didn't get to hand those over like Santa with the ball trimmers I was going to be on Saturday, but we didn't try time in the end. But anyway, use the code KOA. 20% off, free delivery from manscaped.com. And also, friends, another special podcast coming your way. We're going to record our Christmas special, which will be out on Christmas Day. We're going to do that tomorrow, and it's going to be a mailbag free-for-all. Anything you want to ask, literally anything, ask us. And there's a good chance we might talk about it, because it's Christmas, after all. So that will go out on Christmas Day, as I say. Get involved with any kind of mailbag messages you want. Friends, anything else to mention? Rossi, we should mention the Tractor Girls yesterday. Good win in the FA Cup over, sounds like quite a physical, Lewis? How do you pronounce it?
Lewis.
Is it already of me asking you how to pronounce something?
I know, for once, yeah. That's an easy one to say, though, for me. So, incredible result, you know, beating a team, a division above them, and pretty much dominated the game, really. Scored 3 very good goals. Kyle Robertson, who has played, I think, 60-plus games for the club, never scored, and scored an absolute rocket, which is on the socials if you want to check it out. But, big win. And into the next round, because the draw has already happened. They're going to be playing Charlton Athletic in the next round. So, bring it on. I think that's next year. So, big result. Well played to the whole team. That's their year done now, because they don't play over this Christmas period. So what a way to end 2023 for the Tractor Girls.
Good stuff. Stewie, any other business?
No other business.
How's your heart doing?
That's all right, yeah.
Excellent. No coronary cardiac issue during this podcast. Save that for the Christmas special. That's when we really want the views. AJ, anything else to mention?
Eyes on the prize. Leeds and Leicester.
Yes. Okay, friends, thanks for joining us today. An hour of podcast is in the books. We've talked about pre-game. We've talked about the game. We've talked about post-game. Yes, Ipswich Town didn't win the derby. That's what we all wanted on Saturday. But friends, just let us remind you, 21 points clear of Norwich City, 10 points clear of third place. And as Stu says, they know which way the tide is flowing. They know it will come. Don't you worry about it. Friends, have a great start to your Christmas week. And we'll speak to you next time.
Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.